This is Golf with Jay Delsing. A two-time college All-American at UCLA. A participant in nearly 700 PGA Tour events. 7 professional wins to his credit. Over 30 years of professional golf experience. A member of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly with me. Pearly, you're back this week. How's it going?
Good, Jay. Ready to go, man. We have a lot to talk about. I am looking forward to it. A lot of fun topics, a lot of semi-serious topics, and I don't know, maybe there's one serious topic in there, but it is golf after all.
Yeah, absolutely. So we formatted the show like Around the Golf, and the opening segment's called the On the Range segment, brought to you by the Gateway section of the PGA. They are having... They just had their awards banquet this week, so we want to celebrate the Gateway section. We appreciate their help and support. We also need to tell you, and we've been remiss at this, that our show is brought to you by Daugherty Business Solutions. Ron Daugherty, his team, St. Louis-based company, over 2,500 employees around the world, 3 different countries, 30 locations. They are just doing great stuff. They are a community powerhouse, and we appreciate their support. Ron is now chairing the Heart Ball here in St. Louis, and we're going to get him back on the show and get some awareness out for people that are dealing with a little heart issues. So we are appreciative of them. We also are, I want to thank Jeff Thornhill at TaylorMade Golf. Thorny has just been such a great guy this year. He has supplied us a dozen TP5 golf balls each week for some lucky contestant. You can send me an email, jay@jdelsinggolf.com. Put in the subject matter the word balls, and you'll be entered to win the drawing. So, Pearly doesn't have any, but you just might get some. So send me an email, and off we go. All right, so Pearl, let's just jump right into the show. We're doing a show with no interviews this week. We've had interviews for 6 or 8 of the last weeks, and man, we just have a lot of little stuff to clean up and talk about. And I want to start off with... Well, let's just start off with Rory and Greg. I mean, there's been some phenomenal...
Oh, there we go. We have to talk about this. But this is just... And I think you titled it a saga. It is a saga. And this is going to be one that... This is like As the World Turns or one of those soap operas. I'm wondering if this is ever going to end.
Well, it's interesting, John, because Rory, who has really come... Oh, man. It's almost like you could watch his maturation in the last... Oh, on the golf course, probably in the last 2.5 to 3 years, where he's really, really kind of battened down the hatches a little bit. He's putted much better. Currently, world number one. And then with this LIV thing and this opportunity to kind of be a spokesperson for golf, for the PGA Tour, man, he's just jumped right up. And there was a little bit of this back and forth with Greg Norman, and he kind of let the world inside to have an inside look at what this is all about. And, you know, they were going back and forth because Rory didn't appreciate the live stuff. And we're not even going into some of those ugly details because it's just not worthy. However, Rory said he was sitting down watching Greg Norman's 30 for 30. Pearl, have you seen Greg Norman's 30 for 30?
I have not.
You got to watch it. It's really, really well done. And I got to tell you, Greg did a hell of a job. That had to be extremely difficult, especially knowing the size of that man's ego. And he really swallowed a lot of it and talked very frankly and very honestly about, you know, what it's like to lose so many major championships. I mean, John, think about this. There was a stretch where, you know, there's obviously only 4 majors a year, but there was a stretch where I think 6... In 2-year period of time, 6 of the 8 majors, Greg Norman had the lead or tied for the lead going into Sunday's round in 6 of the 8 and won none.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. But you know what? A lot of the guys, actually all the guys that are big time, have a lot of chances and don't win them. And we've talked about this on the show. You've got guys like... I'm thinking Tom Watson in particular is one. Nick Faldo is another one. I mean, Faldo's nickname was Foldo because he couldn't get over the hump. you know, Greg was number one in the world for a lot of years. He won a lot of tournaments. You go through that period where you're not going to win all these things. Jack Nicklaus had as many second places as he did wins. Does that mean he choked 72 times? You know, I don't know, but it definitely seemed to be a bigger deal with Greg, and I think in many ways that's what endeared him to a lot of people.
I totally agree, and what's interesting, John, is he lost in some of the most tragic ways imaginable. I mean, the Larry...
We'll call it spectacular, depending on what side you were on.
That's right. The Larry Mize chip in from the right side of number 11, which, you know... impossible. The Bob Tway hole out at Inverness on the 18th hole from a bunker shot that wasn't necessarily impossible, but was extremely difficult. No one, probably even Brilla, was anticipating holding that shot. And it goes on and on, you know. And then I think the cherry on top of this kind of crap sandwich, Pearl, is Greg's, what, 6-stroke lead going into Sunday at Augusta.
To losing to Faldo.
Yeah, and Faldo closing with 66 and Greg closing with 77, 78, something like that. You know, it's like two trains headed the wrong direction.
Yeah, that was a tough one to watch. I can remember that was everybody felt bad for him except for Faldo.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure Greg wanted to lose anybody, but I'm pretty sure the ones he didn't want to lose to, Faldo was pretty high on the list.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But so Rory said he sat down and watched Greg's 30 for 30, and he was really, really sincerely moved by the piece. And I get it. It was for a golfer that's been in those situations, it was tough to watch. And so Rory reaches out and sends what he calls an olive branch to Greg and says, look it, man, I just watched that 30 for 30. And what a great player you were. You were world number one for so many weeks and this and that and the other thing. And just kind of sent that out. And Greg had a nice response back. And they just kind of had a nice, comfortable banter. And Rory kind of assumed that the trash was kind of behind him. And then the following Monday, Greg comes out in the media and tells the world that Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are brainwashed by the PGA Tour. And Rory just hit the fan and just said, from this point on, I'm going to be the biggest pain in Greg's arse as I can. Which is...
That's not good either.
No, nope, that's not so good either. You know, John.
I don't know what to think of it. How do you want to wrap it up? So where's your head with this thing? And I still, what's the latest you know about LIV? What's happening next year? What are people? What do we look forward to? What's going to happen? I still don't get the whole thing, but what's going to happen?
Well, unfortunately, they're not nearly as organized as you would have liked them to be because it is. You know, we are in the third week, almost the third week of December. This is December 18th, and we don't have a schedule for them yet. We've only got two events that have been verified, and they're supposed to have 14 events around the world. And they're looking to lock up one in Mexico down at Mayacoma, where Greg designed that golf course that we used to play the Worldwide Technology event in. So the tour is supposedly leaving there, and I guess LIV is coming in. So I don't know. I think we'll just put the pause button on this. I really expect eventually Rory to just let it go. That's what I'm thinking. He's gonna stop spending this kind of why give this thing that kind of energy?
No, just play the high road, be consistent, and stay out of the scrum. They're looking for a scrum, and I would stay out of it. Hey, Jay. When do you know, or when would you guess that Augusta National is going to make a decision?
I guess, John, in the first 2 months of the year, probably before the end of February, they're going to wait as long as they can, and they're keeping under wraps like nobody. I mean, nothing seems to ever leak out of Augusta National, and it's really going to be interesting, John. And we've talked about this before, and this bears a conversation as well, because people are going to say, well, you know, what's the big deal here? You know, the Augusta is by and large an invitation. you know, and you can invite whoever you like. Well, where the rubber's going to meet the road, John, is how do these players qualify on their own and earn entry into Augusta without needing that special invite? Meaning, as of this year, when you were within the top 50 in the official world golf rankings, you were automatically in the Masters.
Invited.
Right. You are automatically invited. So what these guys are going to have to do is they're going to have to rewrite some of their conditions and qualification standards. And John, same thing's going to have to be for the British and the U.S. Open, right? Because if they're going to use the same criteria, that means Dustin Johnson will get in the U.S. Open as a past champion because he won in 2016, I think. No, the 5 years is probably up. But he won the Masters in 20. So Dustin Johnson would get in through his five-year exemption from the Masters. But you get a guy like Louis Oosthuizen. And here's a guy that's always been in top 50 of the world. He's clearly going to fall out of the top 50 of the world and then will clearly not have a direct path into Augusta. And Augusta's going to have to rewrite their qualifications to get these guys in. And they're not, that doesn't easily happen, John.
Well, wait a second. Or what if they just simply send out invitations to who they want to play and they don't have to tell anybody what the criteria was?
They absolutely can do that. They can add, John, they
love that.
Can do whatever they want.
I would love that right there. Well, who's going to play? You can find out after they receive their invitations, and they can let you know if they would like to let you know.
That's right.
We're not going to announce it until a week before when we give you the tee times. I would love that. That'd be like the old days, man. That's how it worked.
Yeah, I mean it's fascinating, and you just never know. And those guys are their own, you know, entity, their own world. I mean, they've got enough money to actually be probably a superpower down there if they got all the membership together and created their own country down there. It'd be the Augusta National country. But yeah, they can do that. You know, John, that's going to wrap up the On the Range segment. Let me do my tip of the cap. Tip of the cap. It's brought to you, as you know, by our buddy Colin Byrne at the Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303. We're tipping the cap, Pearl, to the Ascension Charity Classic. I'm tipping our cap to Nick Ragone and Steve Spratt from Ascension and the entire HNS team, Alonzo, Tim, Michael, Connor, Maggie, everybody over there, whomever I missed and left out. I'm sorry if I left someone out. The entire staff that spearheaded the efforts to make this golf tournament in 2022 so special. John, $1.3 million raised. We are now officially the number one charitable giving golf event on the Champions Tour schedule. After 2 years, we got to the top, and that's because of Nick, that's because of Steve, and the entire HNS team, Dan Sullivan, and Kip, and the boys from HNS. We appreciate you, and I can't wait to see what we do for year three. It's going bigger, it's going better, more exciting, so that's going to be fun. That's the tip of the cap. It's brought to you by the Dean Team, Volkswagen of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Pearly. Folks, hang on. Pearly and I'll be right back with more on the Front Nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
I love having Doherty Business Solutions as the title sponsor of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. You already know that they're the number one largest IT consulting firm and the largest software developer in the St. Louis region. You also know that there are over 2,500 Doherty teammates in 30 states and 3 countries around the world. But what you may not be aware of is what Doherty Business Solutions does right here in our own community. They were the sponsor for the first Advocate PGA event at Glen Echo this past September. Doherty Business Solutions was also a presenting sponsor of the Ascension Charity Classic. They have created Access Point, which builds diversity in the IT workforce. This is a game changer in our community. Literally, hundreds of mostly young African-American women are getting $50,000 to $60,000 per year jobs right out of high school, and that training begins in high school. Doherty Business Solutions believes talent is equally distributed, but access to that opportunity is not. Ron Doherty, our founder at Doherty Business Solutions, is the chair of the 2023 Heart Ball, supporting the local American Heart Association Foundation. These are just a few examples of the positive things Doherty Business Solutions is doing right now in our community. How would you like access to 90 holes of golf? Well, that's what happens when you join at Whitmore Country Club. You get access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. And guess what? No cart fees included in that deal. There's no food and beverage minimums. There's no assessments. They have a 24-hour fitness center, two large pool complexes, three tennis courts. Year-round social calendar includes holiday parties, picnics, date nights, live music. They even have a kids club for your children and much, much more. There's junior golf, junior tennis, and swim teams available. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, and they have a wonderful staff. If you get out there, you got to poke your head in the golf shop and say hello to my friend Bummer. He is a terrific guy, and he will help you with your game and show you around. And don't forget, there are golf leagues, skins games, members tournaments, and couples events available all year round. Visit WhitmoreGolf.com. That's WhitmoreGolf.com.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing. For golf tips, news on the latest equipment, and everything golf, log on to golfwithjaydelsing.com. The Front Nine is coming up.
After my knee replacement, I was able to swing the golf club again without any pain. SSM Health Physical Therapy guided me through the rehab process, and when I was ready, one of their specially trained KVS certified physical therapists put me on the 3D motion capture system. It was awesome. They evaluated my posture, alignment, and the efficiencies of my swing. They gave me golf-specific exercises to help make my swing more efficient and repeatable. Call 800-518-1626. Tell them Jay sent you for special pricing. Your therapy, our passion.
Folks, are you in the market for some additional protection for your ride? You need to call my friends at Vehicle Assurance. Their number is 866-341-9255. Sherry Fain is the owner and president, and she and her team are committed to helping you with your unexpected auto repair bills. They are committed to finding the right protection for you, your budget, and your family. They only work with the top vehicle service providers in the country. Get the protection and the peace of mind you deserve. That's Vehicle Assurance, 866-341-9255 for a free quote. 866-341-9255.
And we're headed to the Front Nine. It's brought to you by the Ascension Charity Classic. It's September 5th through 10th at Norwood Hills. Be there, be square. It is going to be a happening spot. Year three, more money to charity, cooler things, better golf experience, and don't forget about Darty and Darty Business Solutions. First of all, although they are our title sponsor, and this show is brought to you by Darty Business Solutions, but also they were the presenting sponsor for the Advocate PGA Tour event that was held at Glen Echo. That'll be around again next year, so stay tuned for those details. And look around for Darty, man. They're everywhere. They are doing some great stuff in our community. All right, Pearl, let's go back to what we were talking about. We wrapped up the Rory and the Greg Norman. I think it's really fascinating, just to put a bow on that, I think it's really fascinating on how people are going to get into these tournaments, John. Whether it's a special invite from the Augusta National Committee, whether the USGA and the RNA and the PGA of America all get together and rewrite how to qualify and what space in the top world golf rankings, if that matters anymore, if there's just going to be general different criteria selected. I'm excited to see what happens. Hell, I don't know if it's good or bad, Pearl, but we've never been talking more about golf.
Well, that's true, but I'm looking forward to knowing what it is, getting that behind us, because I just don't like the seedy side of that whole thing. I like to get back to the kind of the purity of the game, and one reason you and I like the game so much, love the game so much. So, but well, I'm sure we'll talk about it from time to time, but hopefully we get the resolution with the Masters. That sets the tone for the other. Let's get that move behind us.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so Victor Hovland successfully defended the Hero World Tigers Hero Challenge down in the Bahamas. John, here's an interesting stat. Victor Hovland has played, I think it's 67 events on the PGA Tour. He has played 12 of those events outside of the Continental
50 states in the United States. And of those 12, he's won five of them. Of the other 55 events that he's played on the mainland, he's got exactly zero wins.
Well, what's that speak to? That's just happenstance, or the course is that different? What do you think?
I think it's got to be happenstance. I mean, he won his first event down in Puerto Rico, and then I don't know anything about the Bahamas. You know more about the Bahamas. You were just there, what, 2 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, that golf course, there's so many things that are so pure about it. It had a little feeling of the Mexico course I caddied for you with you in. It definitely was kind of a bombs away, see how low you can shoot type of a thing. I don't know. I wanted to. What do you think of his swing, Jay? What do you think of his ball striking? His ball striking is pure.
Yeah.
But how do you explain that? How do you explain that move? Because it's unique.
Hey, John, he stays on top of the ball. He very, very, very seldom gets caught underneath, and that's where where good players get in trouble. You can play every once in a while from underneath, but John, when you're too far underneath, that ball can go left. That centrifugal force, the club flips, and that's what most really good players fight. And he is much more on top. He hits mostly a fade with everything, Pearl, and really is a great, great driver of the ball. He is a really solid driver of the ball. Got a strong iron game. His putting is not the best part of his game. It's still extremely good. But, John, I don't know if you saw the finish, but here he is. He's playing with Scottie Scheffler. He's got a two-stroke lead on 18. 18's got water all the way down the left, off the tee, stays left for your second shot. So he leaves it out to the right, and it's kind of hanging on the lip of this bunker, and he's, I don't know, probably got 160 yards, and it is squirrely. It is a squirrely lie. His right foot, his trail leg, John, is probably 6 or 8 inches lower than the ball. So you know how that is. That ball sits up a little higher. That thing can go left before you even look at it. And he takes this wild swing and hits it in the water. So now I'm thinking, watch Scottie Scheffler. He's got a 9-iron in his hand. He's going to dunk this thing. He's going to slam it in there. Scottie Scheffler flares it out, misses a green to the right. Victor Hovland hits it onto the green about 20 feet from the hole. Scotty blasts it out of the bunker about 8 feet from the hole, and Victor Hovland makes. And the tournament's over.
Well, how about that? Those two swings coming down the stretch together leading this tournament? Because you wouldn't teach either one of those swings, would you?
No. I take either one of them, though, because they're very repeatable. But, man, they're you know what, John? I like some of the guys where they're a little more homemade. Scottie Scheffler's got some of the strangest leg and foot action that you'll ever see. It reminds me a lot of the great Greg Norman. And I mean that as Greg Norman as a player when he played. He has a lot of that back. His trail leg does a lot of sliding, John, and a lot of sliding through impact. And it's just you don't see that very often.
Well, he's on top of it a lot too, wouldn't you say, Scheffler?
Yep, he sure is. He sure is. In fact,
they're just preventing that one miss to the one side of the golf course and go with what they can count on. Yeah, it's interesting as heck.
Yeah, it's interesting. If Scheffler wins there, he retakes Rory as the world number one, and obviously not meant to be. So. That didn't happen, but a great event. Tiger didn't get to play. That's a little disappointing, but we got Tiger coming up in the PNC, so that'll be neat. And, Pearl, this will take us right into our next segment about Tiger. Some telltale signs came out when this plantar fast hit Tiger and knocked him out of the hero. He talked about, I really don't have much left in this leg. And, you know, John, he's never really said stuff like that before. It's interesting because it's going to give us a glimpse into a really, really, really condensed schedule for Tiger. It's going to be tough to see if he can get that putter going and those juices flowing again, because you know his competitiveness will be there. But John, think of it this way. He needs one more win to be the all-time, to have the record, all-time.
It's going to be a one-legged win, and I'm not sure that's possible even for Tiger Woods.
He might commando crawl up the 18th if he had to.
Well, he would do it if he had to. I'll tell you, on the brighter side, the fun side, I want to see what his son Charlie, where he's at with his game after 1 year ago, us watching him. one, my guess is he's quite a bit stronger. My guess is he's on some kind of routine down hitting the gym from time to time. He's probably a couple inches taller, and the kid probably smashes it. And if they're going to let him play the up tees again, the Woods team's going to do pretty well.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is Charlie Woods practicing his Tiger Woods synchronicity? So what I mean by that, is he working on the club flip, the club twirl? Is he working on?
You don't have to work on it. He's around him all the time. It's just becoming ingrained. By the way, he does several of the things better than Tiger ever did.
Like what?
Some of the pointing, the snapping of the fingers.
Oh, yeah.
It's extra polish. I think, you know, at one time it was just natural for Tiger. This kid's polished it down to the next level. I get such a kick out of what he does when they show some of those replays, and he's doing those things where he's showing the money to Justin Thomas. And Tiger just is kind of looking out of the corner of his eye and just kind of go like, oh, man, what have I created here?
Oh, yeah. And he's only 13. I mean, come on.
That's what I mean. He's got the savvy. He's got the moves of a 23-year-old cocky college kid, and he's 13 years old. I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, man, you wonder how much pressure this young guy feels on his shoulders, man. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I suppose he does, but he sure as heck didn't show anything last year. And wouldn't it be nice if he's had the coaching to just go play and not do the pressure thing? If you could, you know, get to the next level with that, that's exciting stuff. Anyway, I'm hoping to see that he's taking some leaps and bounds in his game. And you know, again, the hard part is you can't compare yourself to your dad because Tiger's Tiger. But it would be fun just to see how good this young guy could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Pearl, that's going to wrap up the front nine. Folks, don't go anywhere. Pearl and I will be right back with more Golf with Jay Delsing on the back nine. Stay tuned on 3, 2, and 1. Hey, welcome back. Pearlie's with me. I'm Jay. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. We are headed to the back nine, and the back nine is brought to you by our buddies over at Pro-Am Golf Centers. Man, we have had a strong, consistent message. We're finishing the year with that same message. 314-647-8054. CJ's your man. Get fitted. Pearlie's been fitted. I've been fitted. We got Luke McLaughlin fitted. We've got what's happening, Pearl? You loved your fitting, didn't you?
Oh, I love the fitting, and I've told you, though, I've had some tough time getting used to the new clubs, but it's starting to happen, baby, and are they feeling good, and are some things happening that I haven't seen for many a year?
Wow. Well we're going to have to get into that, because the listeners have been bummed out with you the last little while because it hasn't been so rosy and coming out of Pearlie Mate's bag.
That's just truth of advertising here. I was telling it like it is, but it's I knew it would pay off, and it started to pay off, and it's fun. Hit some hard high five irons, and that hasn't been in the bag for many, many, many moons.
How far are you hitting your five iron now? Let's give the folks a little glimpse into Pearlie's bag. Let me guess.
Let's move on to the next segment.
You said hard and high. I'm saying you hit your five iron 180.
Probably that's about what is happening right now, but it was barely squeaking over 171. I'm thrilled with anything close to 180.
Yeah, right on. All right, so John, last week or so, we had a luncheon and get together over at Norwood Hills to release the numbers, and we briefly mentioned it last week, but this is such a cool story, it bears to be repeated. $1.3 million for the Ascension Charity Classic in year. It's officially our second year, but these guys at Ascension are so out of the ordinary that the first year COVID shuts us down and they still donate $225,000 to this charity, these charities. So each charity got $75,000. This year, $1.3 million. And John, just sitting there and looking at those charities, watching those executive directors and watching those people come up and to have that kind of money dropped in their pocket to help them with a mission in the North County area about what they're doing and helping the Boys and Girls Club, the Urban League, Mary Grove, First Tee was in there, PGA Reach. It's just impressive. It is just super, super impressive. And I got to tell you, Pearl, it just makes you feel good to be associated with it, man.
Well, you've been along this ride for the whole time, so you get to see that, and you've contributed an awful lot. And it is fun to see that kind of money. That's a big deal when you run an organization trying to figure out how are we going to get this done, and all of a sudden they say, hey, by the way, I know we gave you $75,000 a couple of years ago, but now you're going to get, what is it, five times that.
Yeah. Just amazing. Yeah. Just amazing. And, you know, John, at Wild Crush last week, we've got a dear friend, Mary Olson, who's really in a battle with some breast cancer, and we decided to do a show from there. We had Reed Lowe, the St. Louis Blues enforcer, come in and talk to us. We, for every wine bottle sale, we donated money to her. And, you know, John, it was really a cool event. The Olsons were there. It was emotional. It was really fantastic. And, John, we raised like $1,500.
That's awesome.
It's a good number, but John, my point is, it's just not easy raising large amounts of money like this.
No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and the golf community is world class at doing that, and you guys are just another important branch of that, which is really cool.
Yeah, so and the most important thing for me, John, is that all that money stays in North County. I mean, it's staying right there in North County, so... we've got some great leadership kind of formulating up there, and a bunch of really cool things that we are trying to push forward and try to enhance just this whole region. So hats off. I know I tipped the cap to them, but hats off again to the Ascension folks and the Ascension Charity Classic in year three. So John, you had an opportunity to hang out with an old classmate of ours from UCLA.
Fran Pops Mahon. And he had some funny stories. You know, Jay, I've talked to you about this, and you've done it a little bit. I've tried to encourage you. But the last couple of years, as we're getting a little bit older, hitting our 60s, I've been trying to spend a little bit more time with a few people from our past. And, you know, somebody calls, or I see somebody on LinkedIn or something like that, I reach out. You know, and it's been interesting. I've seen a good buddy of ours, Dr. O. Oliver Reinforth. He actually came to Southern Illinois to see us. We had a nice boat ride, and some spectacular, crazy things happened during that boat ride. We'll have to talk about another time. And I went out to see Bob Call at Glen Wild out in Park City, Utah. That was absolutely fantastic. But no, it's not Glen Wild. It's Glen Ellen, right? What is that out there?
No, it's Glen Wild.
Glen Wild, yeah. They got that. What a spectacular property. Wow, what a place that was. And then to see Pops down in McKinney, Texas here, and just a couple stories. We got time for a story right
absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Let it rip.
So he was reminding me, and I don't remember the story. There's no way I didn't hear this, but believe it or not, it had to do with you. Does that surprise you?
I kind of figured.
So actually, this is one where you come off pretty good. It's you, Steve Pate, two All-Americans playing with Pops. Pops is, you guys are seniors. Pops is a freshman. He's just trying to catch you along. Pater's hitting it out there 290. You're hitting it out there 305. You're playing Brentwood. And he's just frustrated, embarrassed, and everything else. He said, you know, John, the hardest part was they were at least a half a hole ahead of you at all times. I never thought of it. I guess if I would have hit them in the back of their heads or their back, they wouldn't have worried about it because I didn't hit it hard enough to worry about that. He says, I'm pounding it out there about 225, and these guys are literally 75 to 100 ahead of me. So we get to the 14th hole, and once again, they are way out in front of me. They're getting ready to hit their second shot. It's a par five, he says. So I get up there, I try to hit it real quick, and I snap one up in the trees. So I'm walking out there looking for my ball. And as I step off the tee, he says, I get so mad, I just take my driver and I just wail it down the fairway as hard as I could. He says, and once again, I hit a pull hook with my throw. His driver gets caught up in the tree. So he has to see it up in the tree, and he stops to look for it. He sees it. So he takes another club. Now, you guys are well on hitting your second shot. He takes another club, throws it up to try to knock the driver out of the tree. He gets that one stuck. And he said, this is what he told me tonight at dinner. He says, I swear to you, John, I had 9 clubs stuck in the tree. Those big fir trees. I couldn't get my driver down. And he said, all of a sudden, here comes Jay Delsey walking back down the fairway, going like, what in the bleep are you doing, Mahon? He says, I got 9 of my clubs stuck in the tree. I don't know what to do. He said, so here comes Delsey, 6'5". He says, a whole lot more power than I have. He throws one club up there, like 5 clubs come down. He says, next thing you know, we get all 9 of them in there. And he says, as I'm putting all my clubs back, and Delsey turns to me and says, hey, don't throw them in the trees anymore. Start catching up with us.
Pearl, I can remember that. I can remember looking up there, and it looked like the Grinch that stole Christmas, you know, like he had all sorts. I'm like, Pops, what in the, how'd you get? And I'm like, oh, hell, that, you know, because we had a pace of play thing with Marins, and we were always trying to be on our horse out there. And so, you know, most of us all played really fast anyway. But, boy,
it was,
I was.
It was so fun to have dinner with him and hear all the stories that, you know, and these are some stories because he was a little bit younger than we were. So a lot of stories I didn't hear. He was a very accomplished player himself. Both of his kids ended up playing, I think, San Diego State, I hope I got that right, and UCLA. His son, Harrison, played at UCLA and was a very good player there. Actually, was able to be on the starting team his freshman year. It was just fun to hear the stories. He ended up, after not making it as a player, caddying for Duffy Waldorf, and Duffy's during a couple of Duffy's best years ever. So he really got to see some spectacular golf and spectacular settings around the world, much like I got to do with you caddying.
Pearl, And Pops is an accomplished instructor, right?
Well, he was doing that. He still does a little of that, but he's got his own insurance office now.
Sound like you were going to say insurance fraud.
I'm sure he's guarded against the insurance fraud.
Right.
So he's got a really good insurance business. And I was asking about this tonight, and he's the head pro at a golf course out at,
how about in Texas somewhere?
In Texas somewhere, Rockwell, Texas, and a really nice golf course, really, really well conditioned, nice golf course. As a matter of fact, he's been pushing to host some mini tour events and smaller events and tour qualifiers and stuff out there. He says it's just a wonderful layout and just in spectacular shape. So I was chumming for an invite, so I finally got an invite at the end of dinner after laying out the chum a stick for about a half an hour.
Did you have to pick up the ticket? Is that how you got in?
Of course I picked up the ticket. You know I picked up the ticket. No, he had given me, to your point with his golf instruction. Yeah, he was a right-hand guy of Hank Haney for years back in the day. And when I came to town, just when we got together and I said hi, I went to his club. I begged him for a lesson, and he gave me a pretty cool lesson, and it was just kind of fun to, again, just to reconnect with these guys. We played with so many fun guys, so many cool guys, and when I talked to other guys who played on golf teams, and especially these days, they didn't have near the fun that we had back then. And, I remember for the most part, we all got together, too. It was a good group of guys. You and I were definitely the ringleaders, but it was a good group of guys.
I don't know if we want to talk too much about our ringleadership. We're
going down very short down that path.
Yeah. That's good because, we don't need to. We don't need to at all. You know, John, when you think about the collection of tour players on our team is pretty special, right? But then, John, that next level of player, I mean, man, we could have, we did field two or three competitive teams to last, what, 2 or 3 years of our career at UCLA?
Oh, well, I was second team for a while, especially when I first got there. And we're out there playing in some of those events and winning by 20, 30 strokes. It wasn't even close, fielding our second team. You know, you guys, the big boy, you guys didn't even know we're playing. We're coming home with trophies. You're looking at us like, that doesn't count. You're not in the first game.
Okay, so we're exaggerators by nature, but John, how many events would you say, we got to wrap up this back nine, but how many events would you say between, let's just say our last two years, so that'd be 82 and 83. How many events did the UCLA golf men's golf team win in 1982 and 1983?
Boy, Jay, it felt like pretty much every time we teed it up, yep. But I don't know what to tell you other than that. Obviously, we didn't have the success we wanted in the NCAA.
We did not.
It was quite the force of nature. And again, to me, the cool part was how many good guys. And hey, you know what? A lot of the guys stayed in the business too. It's a tough business.
Yep.
And a lot of guys stayed in the business because of the passion that they had for the game. And in many ways, I was involved in the business with the manufacturing, with the product line that I had.
No question.
You've been in the business. You know, we were so fortunate to be in that upper echelon of golf courses, golf personalities, exposure to golf in so many different ways that I guess it makes sense that a lot of us stayed involved in it.
Absolutely does. Well, folks, that's going to wrap up the back nine. Don't go anywhere. Pearlie and I will be back for the 19th hole. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I want to summarize some of the fantastic things that Marcone, your hometown company that is the largest distributor of General Electric appliance parts in North America, has done this year. We started out with CEO Jim Sowers donating two service dogs to the wounded servicemen and women heroes in our country. We followed that up with a raffling of two suites at St. Louis Blues home games with Danny Mack and myself, and with all of those proceeds headed to the Backstoppers organization. Lastly, the Marcone First Responder, Military, Police, and Firefighters viewing deck at the Ascension Charity Classic was a huge success. So much so that this idea and model is being implemented at other PGA Tour Champions events. Thank you, Marcone, for your support, and thank you for your tireless giving in our community.
The Legends of Golf return to St. Louis in 2023. You won't want to miss one of the strongest fields in golf. Ernie Els, Steve Stricker, Bernard Langer, John Daly, and many more when they compete for the 2023 Ascension Charity Classic title, September 5th through the 10th at historic Norwood Hills Country Club. All proceeds benefit area charities. Together, we were able to donate over $1 million to those most in need last year. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com.
I am proud to welcome the Gateway section of the PGA back to my show. Whether you're pulling into your favorite driving range, public golf course, or country club, there is an excellent chance that the staff there is part of the over 300 men and women PGA professionals at over 100 facilities that make up our Gateway section. I grew up watching so many of these fine men and women getting to the golf course at dawn, leaving at dusk, spending their entire day running events, giving lessons, and growing this great game. PGA Reach, Drive, Chip, and Putt, PGA Hope, and the fantastic PGA Junior League are a few of the examples of the programs run by these same PGA professionals. Go to gatewaypga.org to learn more, or to find your next PGA professional for your next lesson, go to pga.com. The Gateway PGA, growing the game we love.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nantz, and you are listening to Golf with my friend, Jay Delsing.
I've been looking for over 3 years for the perfect place to be the official 19th hole of the Golf with Jay Delsing show, and the search is over. Please welcome the loading dock to the show. What a great place it is. It is located at the confluence of the Mississippi and Illinois rivers in beautiful Grafton, Illinois. Their patio is killer with seating for over 800, and every weekend the loading dock has the area's best live music. There's no reservations required. They have overnight lodging available, and they also have an ice skating rink in the winter months. And don't forget about the super cool Riverside Flea Market, which happens the fourth weekend of each month from April through October. If you're into antiques and collectibles, you gotta check it out. The Grafton Ferry runs directly from St. Charles County to within steps of our parking lot. Go check out the loading dock and say hello to my buddy Peter Allen. He is a great guy, good golfer, and a lover of the game. Call 618-556-7951 or visit them on the web at graftonloadingdock.com. For more information on their live music schedule, the Riverside Flea Market, and more. The Loading Dock, the new official 19th hole of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. Hey, welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm Jay. Pearlie's with me, and we're headed to the 19th hole. Folks, John and I, for those that listen to the show, first of all, we appreciate you listening to the show, and the Golf with Jay Delsing show is brought to you by Darty Business Solutions. We so appreciate Ron Darty and his team, Lee and John and Kelly, and oh man, there's rock stars all over the place. We really appreciate your support. But John, we're talking about doing a specific, we're going to put some specific energy into Whack and Chase and get some folks more involved in Whack and Chase and try to bring some of those episodes back because we had so much fun with them. So folks, the Whack and Chase, reach out to me, Jay at jdelsinggolf.com, if you want to be involved in the Whack and Chase. And what it is, it's basically John and I will give you a lesson and try to help you with your game. We're going to poke a little fun at you. We're going to make you laugh, maybe make you cry. We're going to do a little bit of everything. But we've really had some fun with it. So anyone that sent me an email, look for our correspondents. We will be reaching out. Actually, this week's winner of the golf balls is Kate Dunn. Kate, you got a dozen TP5s coming your way. Thanks for reaching out. Also, look for that email, Kate, because we are going to talk to you, see if you want to be on the air with us and tell us about your game. Tell us what pisses you off about it. Tell us where we can help and how we can make you better.
You know, Jay, I was just thinking that could be a problem right off the bat. I'll stop myself there. But I was just thinking on the Whack and Chase, maybe part of the Whack and Chase is all participants have to be having one of the beverages from our favorite
our Michelob guys, our AB guys.
Yeah, I think that's part of the deal. When you call in, you know, assuming that you know you're of the persuasion where you're interested in having a cocktail from time to time, because you and I can definitely do that. Now, the problem for you and I could be: do we have to have a different one for every person we're interviewing? And if we're going to do 5 or 10 of these things in a row, that could be a bit of a problem by the fourth or fifth one.
I think those episodes will get better as the night goes on if we're doing that. Well, at least in our own mind they will.
In our minds they will be brilliant. I'm not sure once we replay them and clean them up after that, but anyway, just to add a flair, but that's some of the most fun we've had to this point, and I'm glad we're committing to see where we can go with this thing. It could be a lot of fun for those people that are in listeners that have been into radio and listen to radio much of their lives. Think in terms of Click and Clack, the guys from NPR and how they talked about cards. We want to talk the same way about golf and interview people with that and have a lot of fun with your golf game. And again, the beauty is you're going to get a tip from a PGA Tour player, Jay Delsing, at the end of the day. So you get something in return. You have some fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. What else, John? We had a couple of other things we wanted to talk about here. I've got, oh my gosh, my mailbag. Folks, keep the emails coming. I'm sorry that we've been tardy to get to some of these, but I've got several dozen questions and comments and things like that that we'll get to. Did we clean everything up, John, that we needed cleaning up?
I think so. We got the golf ball thing. We got the Whack and Chase. You got a mailbagger you can pull out of there?
Yeah. The first one is from Sarah from Wentzville. She says, Jay, I need help understanding how to become a better putter. I've heard you say before one of the most key components to lowering your score is to eliminate three putts. Right now, I'm averaging 4 3 putts a round. My distance control is off. I'm either long or short of my long putts. Please help. Sarah, first of all, this is a huge step in the right direction. First, just identifying, John, as you know, with how you help your business clients.
Awareness.
To get that awareness. So the fact that Sarah's tuned in and getting rid of those three putts is perfect. Here's how we're going to help you, Sarah, with your distance control. First of all, Sarah, you've got to eliminate any body movement from your waist down when you putt. From your waist down, doesn't move. With all of your other golf shots, Sarah, there's that rotation from your back foot to your front foot. I'm assuming you're a right-handed player. So there's that rotation or that pivot with your hips. Get rid of that, Sarah. That's why you're from distances, you're feeling the need to hit at that ball, and you're giving it an extra pop with your lower half. I would bet my bottom dollar on that, John. I have seen this so many times where folks get a little further away from the hole. Instead of making a longer stroke, which is what I want you to do, Sarah, you'll make the same length stroke, and you'll just add some zip to it. So what you're doing is increasing the speed of your downstroke, and that's a death blow because it is almost impossible to regulate and to regulate well. So, Sarah, okay, first thing, let me just reiterate, keep your lower half still. Yep.
Okay, I love it. That's one tip. This is what we're going to do for when we do Whack and Chase again. There's going to be two things, Max. You might go through three or four of them, but we're going to conclude with one or two things that they run with, because as you're always telling me, if you got more than one or two things in your head, you got no chance.
Right.
So what's the other tip from the top? What's the other most important thing Sarah can do, Jay?
So the most important thing you can do, Sarah, is get in there and practice the stuff that you're not good at. Get away, get get 30 feet from the hole, get 40 feet from the hole, and hit a bunch of putts. And Sarah, there's drills you can use. When you can go through your routine, and right before you get ready to hit the putt, you can close your eyes, or you can look out at the hole and hit your putt. And what that does, Sarah, is it almost gives you nothing to rely on except your feel, and that will increase your feel, and it'll help your feel. And at the same time, Sarah, while you're working on that drill, eliminate the lower body movement. Cut it out. Don't do it. Those are the only two things I would tell you about. John, you know I'm a path guy. You know I'm a little low face rotation guy. I'm not even giving that to Sarah here. I believe if she just works on those two things, she's going to become a better putter right away.
Well, you've got to have those two things before you even work on any of that other stuff. That's why I think that's good advice. First things first.
Yep. I got a letter here from Joe from Kirkwood, and he said, how do I determine, this is really an interesting one, John, how do I determine whether I, in filling out my set, Jay, how do I determine whether to use a 5-wood or a hybrid to fill out my set? And John, I would say to Joe, are you a better iron player than you are a fairway wood player? And if the answer is yes, and you do like hybrids, some people can't stand hybrids, and if that's the case, I'd say go to the 5-wood. But if you like the look of hybrids and hit them well, I say go to the hybrid. They give you a much bigger degree, John, of flexibility. You can actually chip a little bit around the greens with those hybrids, and you can also, a hybrid is a much easier shot for me, John, off of a tee than a wood with a lot of loft.
I think it's much more versatile. I think that's great advice, Jay. I think that's definitely the way we want to go. But I like the way you qualified it with what does he like at the beginning, his irons or his woods.
Yeah, and Joe, the important thing there is to remember, you can get hybrids that'll have 19 degrees, 18 degrees loft on them. You can get some basically driving irons that are hybrids that are also can be extremely effective around the greens.
It's amazing to me. I've never hit one before. I got one in the bag because of CJ, and he talked me into that one. When I picked that thing up, I'm thinking, what the heck am I going to do with this? I've hit some rockets with that. I've been very surprised how nice that comes off. And you and I have talked about it. It's a whole lot easier to hit one of those than it is to hit some 3-iron, let alone a 2-iron. By the way, do they even sell 1-2s and 3-irons anymore?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Yeah. There, I have never seen a 1-iron. I've seen some driving irons, and they're not called 1-irons anymore. It's hell, that was my bread and butter for 10 years on tour, Pearl. That's all
I know it. It was a huge deal back in the day.
All right, and this is going to be our last mailbag. This is from Henry from Manchester. Jay, will Tiger Woods win again? And what do you think? How do you see, this is a really hard question to answer, how do you see LIV and the PGA Tour coming together? Can they come together? First of all, Henry, is Tiger Woods going to win again? I've counted this dude out on so many occasions. Is he going to win again? Yes. How? I have no idea. John and I mentioned earlier in the show, he might army crawl up the 18th hole to get it done. He needs one win to become the all-time champion in number of wins on the PGA Tour, and I think he gets it. John, weigh in on that.
Oh, man, I don't even want to weigh in except to say I hope so, and I will be rooting him on. And the other thing I can agree with you is I have counted him out from the beginning when I first heard about him all the way through. So I can't count him out. I can't fathom how it could happen, but I will absolutely root as hard as I can root for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And then the last one, John, the LIV PGA Tour thing, we talked a little bit about it, gosh, the last three or four shows. At this point in time, I'm going to say no go. There's got to be some sort of major reconstruction or major personality and professional changes at the top of either one lineup or both lineups to get this thing done.
They have already had an influence on the PGA Tour. I don't think we're going to see any kind of a combined effort. They've already influenced the tour, but I can't fathom them coming together.
Guys, Sarah, Joe, George, thanks for the emails. Keep them coming. Jay at jdelsongolf.com. Pearlie, that's going to wrap up another show. Thanks for joining me. We had no interviews. It was fun for us to just kind of chew the fat and try to get people caught up in the golf world this week.
I loved it. It was one of the best ones. By the way.
Oh, yeah. Pearlie opened one. You're getting good at that sound effect, Pearl. All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Hit them straight, St. Louis.
has been Golf with Jay Delsing. To learn more about Jay and the services he can provide any golfer, visit jdelsinggolf.com. You'll see the latest in golf equipment, get tips from a PGA pro, and you'll learn more about the game of golf. That's jdelsinggolf.com.
Hey, do you like wine? Have you heard about the hottest new wine bar in St. Louis? It's called Wild Crush Wine Bar, and it's located in Town and Country on Clayton Road, just behind the Strops. Have you ever experienced self-dispensing wine machines? Well, they are here. The only place in St. Louis and most of Missouri that you'll find them, and it's at Wild Crush. You can choose your size of pour, and Wild Crush will pour the freshest wine in the area for you. The organic argon gas system used at Wild Crush keeps this wine pristinely fresh for up to 60 days. So if you're tired of drinking wine that's been open for a few days, come into Wild Crush for the best and freshest wine selection in the area. Go to wildcrushstl.com and come have one with us.